Thank you.
Thank you. Commissioner Fedorchuk will not be joining us today, so this is what we got. So as soon as Scott gives us a thumbs up, we'll start. All right. Good afternoon, everyone. This is Commissioner Brian Call, coming to the 12th floor of the Capitol today. It's May 22nd, approximately 1:30, for a informal on case numbers PU-13-142 and PU-13-141. We've got representatives from MDU here as well as Rough Rider Electric. I'm joined by Commissioner Crispin and staff Jerry Lean. Randy, do you have any opening comments before we kick this thing off?
I'm going to wait, and I think based on how this goes, I have some closing comments based on years of work on this very subject, so I'll just hold off.
Okay, thank you very much. With that, maybe what we could do is just start over here and go around the table and everybody say who they are and who they represent, and then I don't know if we should start with MDU or Rough Rider. I don't think it matters. We can go from there, but go ahead and start.
I'm Karen Collins with MDU.
Dan Kuntz with MDU.
Garrett Singer with MDU.
Jerry Lynn with staff.
Okay.
Leonard Hibble with Rough Rider Electric.
Chris Bumgart with Rough Rider Electric.
And Jennifer Gross with Rough Rider Electric.
Okay, and if you, double check the green light is on when you're talking.
Right.
I don't know, there may be someone on the phone too.
Jake.
Oh, okay.
Jake.
Are we joined by someone on the telephone?
Yes, Jake Zettel, MDU superintendent in Dickinson, North Dakota.
All right, thank you, Jake.
And this is Jay Scable, Vice President of Operations from Bismarck, but I'm here with Jake in Dickinson.
Oh, perfect. Hey, Jake, good to hear you. All right, well, thank you all very much. Should we flip a coin to see who goes first here?
They're welcome to
Since we regulate MDU, we'll go with you guys first.
Well, this is pretty simple, commissioners. The parties have filed an application for approval of a service area agreement. As provided under North Dakota Century Code Section 490306. The service area agreement governs the city of Dickinson and the surrounding areas that are shown on the map that was attached to the application. I think Karen has distributed some copies here today. And it would also include any areas that are annexed during the term of the agreement that are outside the shaded areas. So that was the areas that would be covered by the service area agreement. It's a 20-year service agreement. It was approved by the City of Dickinson on March 4th, 2013, in conjunction with respective 20-year franchises to match the service area identified on the map. In addition to approval of the service area agreement itself, Montana Dakota has also included in its application a request for a certificate of public convenience and necessity then to serve those areas that would be outlined in red outside the city limits of the city of Dickinson.
Okay. That's it?
That's it. The service agreement itself has got the typical terms that the commission, I think, is familiar with and seen in other service area agreements. So.
Okay. I just had maybe a couple questions for clarification. So I'm looking at the map here, and I see where we have the city limits. We see we have MDU's area, Rough Rider in green. But so what it would be the southwest corner of this map where it's not, I guess I assumed it would be green all around the red. So is that Rough Rider area in the southwest, or is that yet to be determined, or how would that be?
What the agreement provides is that any areas that aren't shaded are subject to the TIA law. So basically that if Montana, Dakota were going to try to serve any of the areas that are outside the green shaded areas or the red shaded areas, we would need to apply for a certificate of public convenience and necessity like any other rural area. So basically at this point, you know, if Rough Rider had a request for service in those areas, it could serve them under the TIA law. If Montana Dakota received a request for service out there, it would have to apply for a certificate of public convenience and necessity. The only exception would be is if any of those white areas were to be annexed within the 20-year period, then the parties would meet and decide who would be the service provider for that annexed area, and then that would become part of the service area agreement.
So thank you for that. So this is a little different than some we've seen before, because usually they address those issues now, because this would be a setup for the future, a potential disagreement.
No, I think this is pretty typical, Commissioner, where the parties kind of pick an area where they're fairly confident of where the defined growth will be and try to divide those areas up, and anything outside of that is basically not part of the service area agreement, so it's left under the current law to decide. So is there an area for potential disagreement? I suppose there is, to the extent, you know, typical TIA type situation. Right. So
okay. Jerry, do you have any thoughts on that question I just put out there?
Not really. I think maybe we're used to seeing maps that just show the areas that are covered by the agreement. So, I mean, you have some boundaries around that your map, your extents of your map.
Okay.
And in this case, the map goes beyond the areas that they covered.
Okay. All right, thank you. Randy, do you have any follow-up for MD?
Well, on that subject,
so if another area is annexed that's in white here now, once it becomes annexed, is if there's nothing being served there at the time, is the presumption then that it's MDUs because it's annexed in, or
no,
is it the presumption that it's Rough Riders because this is what the map shows now?
No, the agreement provides that the intent is that the areas that are not shaded, if they are an annex, will be shared by the parties during that 20-year agreement. So let's assume that just picking a section of land were to be annexed during the 20 years. Some developer wanted to come in there and annex that. The parties would have to sit down and decide who should get whose area that would become, whether that would be a red or a green, or whether it would be split, or how it would be handled. You know, you could have various situations. It might be a situation where maybe this just made sense, that Rough Rider, because of the facilities it already had or whatever, would get this section. But we also knew there was another section on this end of town that was going to be annexed in the future, with the idea, well, you know, Rough Rider, you take this section, with the idea that the next one will be MDUs because we think that's the next one. Or it might be a situation where you might decide MDU take the north half and Rough Rider take the south half for east and west. So once that those areas become into the city, the parties along with the city will have to decide who's going to be the service provider in those service areas. The idea being that once it goes into the city, that the city and the service providers have an agreement as who's going to be the service provider in those areas. So, but at this point, I think the parties have determined that they're not sure whether these will likely be annexed in the 20 years, so they are left off the table. And like I said, to the extent that Rough Rider gets a request to serve a customer in that area, they would serve it. If Montana Dakota had a request for a service, we could serve it if we got a certificate of public convenience and necessity. And you know the routine there. There would have to be an application, either no objection from Rough Rider or else proof that we are in a better position to serve under the TIA criteria.
Okay. The water treatment plant to the bottom, like I said, the right of the map, so that's already been destined that your MDU is going to serve that treatment plant.
That's correct, Your Honor.
So that wouldn't that imply that anything between what you're going to do in the water treatment plant and what you already have might become yours just because you're going to serve that area?
Not necessarily. Again, it would depend. I mean, remember, that's a pretty big load for that water treatment plant, so to build a line out there. But if there's anything between it, it'd have to be looked at that particular time.
Okay. Fair enough.
Commissioner, that specific load was singled out because the city did request that MDU do serve that load, but we do have facilities in that area today. Rough Rider does. So I think Mr. Kuhn summed it up very well.
You're not doing duplication of effort then if you already have stuff in that
no,
area.
I think there is a MDU facility. There's a transmission line there. I believe either one of us was going to have to put in a substation to serve this load, and MDU is going to do that, correct?
Yeah, I'd have to defer to Jake on that. Jake, did you hear the question?
Yes, I did, and that is correct, that MDU is tapping our 416 line that is on the property and building a small substation to serve that wastewater treatment plant.
But to your point, Commissioner, right, there is no unnecessary duplication of service here.
Okay.
In that example.
Sounds good. All right, Dan, did you have anything else for MDU?
No.
Maybe we'll just pass it over to Chris and your crowd here now. If you want to whoever take the lead, your turn.
I can certainly. I'll let Jen start off here, and then I can finish up with some following comments.
Okay.
Well, I think I'm going to be pretty brief because I think that Dan did a great job of summarizing the high points of this agreement and why we're here today.
So you wouldn't disagree with anything that he said?
As much as it pains me.
Fair enough.
No, and I just want to say this has been an effort, an ongoing effort with our staff and MDU staff for several months. And what we try to do is to work cooperatively with our neighbor utility and to best utilize our current resources individually and our joint resources that we have in the Dickinson area and to best anticipate where the growth will be and when it will come on the system and require additional support. And as you can see here, to Jerry's point, we've gone beyond the current city limits to some degree to anticipate that and to allow growth for both utilities as fair and equitably as we can, again, working cooperatively and in conjunction with the support of the city. So we feel very good about this.
What's that area in this north-central part that's kind of carved out of MDU territory, if you will, that's Rough Rider area?
Again, that is an area that... and Leonard can perhaps provide some of that. Going back to history, that is an area that Rough Rider initially has been serving for some time.
Yes.
And so, again, that wasn't, there was no exchange of current property or services in this agreement. We agreed to continue to serve our current customers, and that was certainly an area that Rough Rider had developed years ago.
Okay. What was the most contentious, if there was an area that you had to kind of work through? From your viewpoint?
Leonard Hibble was the lead on that, but I don't think there was too much problem.
That's good to hear. No, as Chris had said, this happened over a long period of time, and it was looked at as forward-looking, you know, provide avenues of growth and potential growth to try to make agreement that would be long-standing.
Okay.
The directive from our board in that what we as management passed on to our staff was that we want to work with MDU. They are a neighboring utility. We want to work in the best interest of our members and the community of Dickinson. And I know they feel the same way about their customers. And so that was the directive. And there was, I think, certainly areas of compromise in other issues. You know, one being an example would be the water facility plant, knowing that certainly is in our territory, and but recognizing that a request coming from the city, and we know that MDU is very capable of serving that load. And so,
is there a lot of price difference between the two companies on the cost per kilowatt?
I don't know what we're very close. But I can't say
I don't know for sure. I don't know. Typically, that's something that Tammy kind of keeps in track of.
Ours is about 7 cents, 6 cents kilowatt hour.
And if that's full, we are.
Well, I like when the companies and co-ops do service area agreements, but we've seen almost in different areas where there's some shopping for prices that's occurring in different parts of the state, and it doesn't help things. I don't think
it's understandable. I guess.
Yeah. Exactly. Oh, Randy, go ahead, Commissioner.
Where's the Calumet MDU refinery on here?
That would be about 3 miles west of the last red shaded area here.
Okay.
So that direction.
And so what's going to be done about that?
We have a certificate of public convenience and necessity to serve the refinery off of our transmission line that goes out that direction.
And is it just that one load, though, or
just
is
that
it
one load.
That area, right? Just that area.
Where the
refinery is located.
Everything surrounding it.
Well,
Rough Rider.
Yeah, all the area around it is still subject to the TIA.
Again, there was an area there where that came up kind of behind the scenes in the discussion, that should that come forward, MDU had given us ample notice that they were going to request that. And again, recognizing that the background on that refinery, we did not oppose that. Again.
Sure, because we put that out for anybody to request a hearing, and that kind of worked itself through.
Yes, it did. And again, wanting to work with our neighbors.
The how much, and I shouldn't say how much, but tell me going forward, this is more curiosity, and we've seen the studies where the co-ops are short almost 2,000 megawatts of energy down the road. Does that come into play for any of the Dickinson area, or is that mostly that northwestern corridor where most of that shortage is at?
It's mostly the northwestern corridor, and the prohibiting factor there is the transmission to get the power from the power plants up into that area. Or again, our proximity to the Antelope Valley Station and to the Leland Old Station. We're sitting fairly well.
Okay.
Right. Not that the basin proposed transmission line from AVS all the way up through Williston, that will interconnect, I believe, at Killdeer. So again, that will provide some additional support, but we feel fairly confident here that Rough Rider is going to be served and to meet our needs.
Okay. Any other questions, Commissioner?
I don't.
Anything else?
Nothing at this time.
Jerry, you got a staff memo if you want to walk through that, and then I see there's other questions. We're probably wrapped up.
Sure. It's just a routine memo. It kind of walks through the agreement a little bit. It's a 20-year term agreement. After that, it'll go to year unless one of the parties gives notice of a year that they want to terminate it. With this, there would be a certificate of public convenience and necessity issued to MDU for areas within the service area agreement that are outside of city limits. Staff's recommendation on it is to approve the agreement.
Okay. I don't have any questions about your memo, Commander.
I don't either, but I assume for now we're discussing everything pending that no requests for hearing or anything come in by the 29th.
We
are a week ahead of the...
Yeah, and I did that on purpose just to have this and have a period afterwards in case anything came up to...
No, but that's a good point. Yeah, if somebody requests a hearing, then we'd have to look at those facts and then make a determination accordingly.
Yeah, but I have not heard anything from anybody so far.
Okay. Thank you, Jerry. So the comment period, request for a formal hearing, May 29th, that closes. Is there, for both parties, I guess, is there any particular reason that if we vote on this, the next meeting, which would be 2 weeks from today, that would be fine? Or is there something that you'd like a decision earlier than that?
Well, considering we have to wait a week for that, I think probably 2 weeks from today would be fine. I mean, if it drug out longer than that, I guess we'd like some special consideration to get it off the table.
Because we don't make any decisions today, but I don't think that this is going to be too hard to get to a vote on this one.
So that should probably work.
Okay. All right, I don't have any closing comments. I'm just saying thank you and keep doing this in other areas as best you can. Commissioner, your words of wisdom now?
I don't know if they're not necessarily words of wisdom, but words of experience. In 18 years in the legislature, one of about maybe the two or three most frustrating issues was TIA when it came in year after year. And you can grab a community or a few communities and look at the issue as we were looking at it at that point and say, obviously, we need big changes. And then you could take some different communities, and it was no longer obvious. In fact, it was obvious that it ought to be left alone, and it was working fine. And no matter how we'd try and address it from a statewide perspective, you just couldn't seem to find a way to write into law exactly who should get what and that it was going to be reasonable in every situation. And I just think that the way that the utilities have started working together in order to resolve these differences in the individual communities, recognizing the individual circumstances, is just one of the great examples of American business working the way it ought to work. And I am so glad that we're not sitting here like we're Solomons or something trying to... figure out who should serve what somewhere where we don't have the practical experience to write a policy that fits all the needs. So thank you for what you're doing.
All right, perfect. Going once, going twice. Anyone else? All right, with that, we'll close the informal on case numbers PU 13142 and PU 13-141. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you.